There's been a lot of things to be positive about at Cardinals camp this spring, and today we're going to highlight some of the standouts on Locked On Cardinals.
You are Locked On Cardinals, your daily St. Louis Cardinals podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey there, Cardinals fans. I'm J.D. Haffern, and I'm a national radio sports anchor, born and raised in the Lou and a lifetime Cardinals fan, and I'm your host for Locked On Cardinals, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, covering your team every day. You can follow me on Twitter at J.D. Sports Radio. Follow the podcast at LO underscore Cardinals. I want to thank those of you who make Locked On Cardinals your first listen every day. We're free and available wherever you get your podcast. You can find us on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcast, as well as YouTube. Like, subscribe, and comment there so you can interact with us. Hit the notification button so you know when the new episodes are posted. This is a show serving Cardinal Nation and giving the best fans in baseball all of the info about the birds on the bat. This episode is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, the official sportsbook of Locked On. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn today to get started. There's just been a lot of positive stories and storylines for the Cardinals so far this spring. Everything's gone pretty darn well. Not a lot to complain about, and a lot of them these storylines have been able to blossom a bit more due to the fact that the team has had so many players taking part in the World Baseball Classic. It's opened up more chances to see other hitters and other pitchers alike that may have not gotten as many looks in other gears, because normally you're scrambling to get at-bats for some of these guys. You're not sure if they're going to be on the roster or not, or you're trying to find innings for relief pitchers who you're not sure if they're going to make it into the staff. But this year, it's been kind of nice because you haven't had all of the so-called starters soaking up all the at-bats and all the time out there on the field. You've been able to keep an eye on some of these other guys, and they've performed very, very well. So let's go ahead and start with the pitching staff. In the rotation, you've had Adam Wainwright, Miles Michaelis off with Team USA. So the focus has really been on Jack Flaherty, Jordan Montgomery, and Steven Matz. Although Flaherty, let's start there. Jack Flaherty hasn't exactly dominated by any means. He's been healthy, which is great. And he's throwing strikes. He's walked just three hitters in 11 and a third innings and has punched out 10 hitters. And as I've said repeatedly, so far, Jack looks strong. He looks healthy. And that's really the biggest hurdle for Jack Flaherty. That's what you worry about the most. I think his stuff will eventually get there to where you want it to be. But he's got to be able to stay on the mound, and so far, so good. Steven Matz, wow, he's looked like the guy the team thought they signed before last season when they gave him that four-year deal. 11 and two-thirds innings this spring under his belt. He's allowed just two runs on seven hits. He's punched out 12, and he's carrying an ERA of 1.54. Again, health, the big hurdle for Matz, has been his whole career with New York, with Toronto. Got to stay healthy, but he's been very impressive this spring, very impressive. Jordan Montgomery, here's the guy that has seen some struggles. His ERA is close to 8 in just 7 innings of work, but he's only had 2 starts, and that second start was much better than his first one. So hopefully he'll be able to continue that trend into whenever his next start is going to be. He was supposed to pitch in a simulated game on the backfields on Thursday. I don't really have much information on how he looked or what he did back there, but I haven't heard anything bad. So that's, I guess, a good thing. The guy that has, at least to me, stood out this spring the most as far as rotation slash bullpen, because we don't really know what we're going to do with him yet, and that's Jake Woodford. Granted, he's only had one start this spring, but he has thrown 12 and two-thirds innings, which is a team high. He's got an ERA of 2.84. Most of that damage came in his last outing against Houston, where he finally got touched up for 3 runs in 3 and two-thirds innings. Before that, his ERA was sitting at 1. He certainly opened up some eyes this camp and has made a serious case for being on this roster come opening day. Again, we're not sure where he's going to be. You would assume he'd be that long relief bullpen guy, but if they prefer to make him like a full-time starter, maybe they send him down to Memphis so he can do just that. I feel like it's kind of between him and Dakota Hudson on who is going to serve as that long relief right-handed role. in the bullpen so far this spring. And if I had to give the nod to somebody, it would be Jake Woodford. Matthew Liberatore has had an outstanding spring, going 2-0 with an ERA of 1.80. He threw five innings today against the Tigers, allowed one run on three hits with six strikeouts, and has only walked one hitter in 10 innings of work. Mentioned Dakota Hudson. He's only thrown five innings on the mound. Two other teams. He's done some work on the backfields, but in those games that we have seen him, his ERA, 1.80. Hasn't been a dominating thing. He's not striking out a lot of people. Obviously, the walks can be an issue with Dakota Hudson, but he hasn't looked that bad. Like, it's not like you look at him and go, "Ooh, that is ugly." We haven't had any of those issues so far. In the bullpen, you can take your pick of the standouts, because almost everyone has been at the top of their game. They wanted to breed healthy competition this spring, and it has worked. It has definitely worked. Now, you know, you've got Helsley and Gallegos. They're set at the back end of your bullpen, but everything else kind of up in the air. You weren't exactly sure who was going to be doing what. Now, I would assume that Andre Pallante, who's been off with Team Italy, they just got eliminated. He's got a spot in the bullpen. I don't see why he wouldn't. And then you've got Jordan Hicks. I would have thought he is a lock, but hasn't looked super sharp this spring. He really hasn't. So I would assume he makes the roster. I can't envision them sending him down, but I don't know. There's been so many good guys in this bullpen in the spring that it's going to be tough. They've gotten great responses from veterans like Andrew Suarez and Anthony Misevich, two guys that we kind of made fun of when the Cardinals signed them this offseason. Suarez still hasn't given up a run this spring in seven appearances, and Misevich, he struck out 8 and 7 innings, his ERA at 3.86. He's looked really good against left-handers. Drew Verhagen, another guy that we kind of made fun of a lot, has reestablished himself for a spot after a brutal year last year where he dealt with injuries, had the offseason hip surgery, and comes back this spring strong, showing that he deserves a spot in this pitching staff. Just one run in five innings of work, four strikeouts. He's looked good. Wilking Rodriguez, who they plucked off the Yankees in the Rule 5 draft, he's had some solid moments, although he did get into some trouble today against Detroit. I think he only got one of six hitters out, but it was the first time that we've seen him really struggle this spring. But clearly, they like him. He's got that upper 90s stuff, which that's going to play. People find a spot for you when you can throw that hard. Zach Thompson, we just talked about him earlier in the week, continues to look like the top left-hander in the bullpen. He still hasn't allowed a run this spring as well. Seven appearances. He's punched out eight. He's looked great. He's looked awesome. Top pitching prospect Tink Hentz showed why he's special in his four appearances. Ryan Lutis, who has garnered six appearances, his ERA, 0. It's pretty good. Kyle Leahy, no runs in four appearances. Some guys nobody really talked about having good springs. And then you've got, you know, Hennessy Cabrera, who's been off at the World Baseball Classic. He was back in camp today and threw. The Cardinals are sporting the fourth best team ERA in all of spring training. And it's going to make these final cuts for the opening day roster very, very difficult. So I'm very much curious of how they're going to figure out who they send down and who they keep up, because it isn't going to be easy. We're going to turn our attention to the offense next, where two top prospects continue to steal this show this spring. This is Locked On Cardinals. Now, if you're a gamer, if you like video games and you enjoy the sport of baseball, which I assume you do, considering you're watching a baseball prospect or watching a baseball podcast, listening to a baseball podcast, you need to check out the new mobile game Ultimate Baseball GM. If you've ever dreamed of becoming a Major League Baseball GM, you want to be the next John Mozeliak and manage your professional baseball franchise, then this is the game for you. You got to hire the right coaches and staff. You got to manage the team finances. You got to do the scouting. You got to do the drafting. You got to manage difficult personalities. Navigate your franchise through free agency. You got to go through all the ups and downs that go along with a Major League season. We're talking injuries. We're talking slumps. Of course, the good stuff too, but you got to deal with all of it. And it's all put together in this challenging but realistic game world. Ultimate Baseball GM is completely free, which is another bonus. And another plus is that you don't need Wi-Fi to play it. So if you're on a road trip for a long time and you need something to do in the back seat there, you're stuck dress shopping, say with your wife or your girlfriend, or you're shopping with the kids and you're just kind of sitting there wishing you had something else to do while they're changing and trying on new outfits, this is perfect. Maybe you're at the garage and you're getting your oil changed or something. Most of the time, you just sit in your car, you just sit there and wait while they're doing it. This is perfect. You can load up your season, pass the time in a fun and entertaining way that only Ultimate Baseball GM can provide. Locked On Cardinals listeners get a 100% free boost to their franchise when using the promo Locked On in the game store. So make sure to check it out. Download the game, visit probaseballgm.com, scan the code, or you can look it up on the app stores. That's probaseballgm.com, Ultimate Baseball GM. Start your dynasty today. Jordan Walker and Mason Winn. They've been the talk of camp, and for good reason. The number one and number two prospects in the Cardinals organization have done it all for this squad, and it's hard to actually choose which one is having the better camp. Let me throw these numbers at you, because everybody assumes that, oh, Jordan Walker, run away with it, right? Not so fast. Jordan Walker has seen time in left field and right field, and he's looked quite comfortable out there defensively, which is great, considering he just learned how to play outfield this past year. At the plate, phenomenal, right? Team leading 378 average. He's got 3 home runs, 9 RBIs, 8 runs scored. His OPS, 1.058. Phenomenal stuff. Mason Winn. He's seen time at shortstop and second base. Has certainly looked the part at both positions with his quick hands. Of course, the rocket arm. Today against Detroit, he showed off that arm once again when the Tigers, they had runners at the corners, first and third, and they attempted to steal second base. And the throw from Trace Barrera, who was catching at the time, was well short. It short hop. Mason Winn doesn't panic. He knocks it down. The guy from third base breaks, tries to get to home plate. Mason just whips one at a little over, a tick over 91 miles per hour to home plate, nails the guy by a healthy margin to maintain the Cardinals' one-run lead because the Tigers were threatening there. That was when Wilkin Rodriguez was having his troubles there in the seventh inning, but he saves the lead, gets the guy at home plate. He's been doing stuff like this all spring. Every game that Mason Winn has been a part of, he's done something that makes him stand out. He was also 2-for-4 today, and he's got his average up to 351 on the spring. He's got 2 home runs, 9 RBIs, 8 runs scored. He's stolen 3 bases. He's got an OBP of 405, which is second on the team behind another guy who's had a standout spring, and that's Nolan Gorman. But we'll talk about Nolan here in a second. Back to Winn for a moment. One could argue that Mason Winn is actually having a better spring than Jordan Walker so far just because of his defense alone. He's making plays all over the place, and now he's doing stuff at second base. And on most teams in Major League Baseball, I think what Mason Winn has done this spring would earn him an opening day spot. But it just so happens that the Cardinals have a lot of depth up the middle right now, and they don't have to rush him. They don't have to rush him. That's the key word there. They don't need it. They don't have to bring up Mason Winn to the major leagues yet. And he knows this. And that's even great. That's even cooler about Mason Winn right now is he understands what's going on with this. In an article by John Denton at MLB.com, he said, "I understand what the guys ahead of me. I could go 50-for-50 with 50 bombs in my next 50 at-bats. But look who's ahead of me. You've got Tommy Edman. You've got Brendan Donovan. 2 gold glovers right there. Paulie had 30 home runs 1 year. Not a lot of people could say they did that. Then there's Nolan Gorman and a lot of at-bats. In order for me to get to St. Louis, you've got to take somebody out of the lineup, and that's going to be difficult. A rebuilding team, it might be a little bit different, but this team, it's not a rebuilding team. We're trying to push for a World Series, but I'm blessed to be a part of it. I'd much rather be on a winning team than a team that's just trying to get by." Bravo, Mason Winn. You got to love to hear that. He's not showing any disappointment. He understands the numbers game that's going on right now, and he knows he's probably heading to Memphis, barring some catastrophe with injuries or something like that. He's going to be starting in Memphis this year and get to play every day, which is what he needs to do. I mentioned Nolan Gorman a few moments ago, who's had a strong spring. He's hitting 324 with 2 home runs and 9 RBIs. Granted, the strikeouts are there again, and they're always going to be there. He's got 12 so far this spring, but that's just part of the Nolan Gorman makeup. It's what goes along with being a power hitter. He's not going to be perfect. He's going to strike out. It's going to happen. Get over it. Get over it. Because if he's hitting you 25 to 30 bombs, you're not going to complain that much about the strikeouts. Speaking of power, Brendan Donovan flexing his muscles this spring. Team leading 4 home runs, 10 RBIs while playing second, short, third. He's also hitting 324. He's looked fantastic. And he's part of the where, you know, you think about lineup construction. And I keep trying to find out who is going to be the leadoff hitter for this team. It seems like they want to put Tommy Edman there, but he hasn't been that great as a leadoff hitter in his career. And I see what kind of at-bats guys like Lars Nootbaar and Brendan Donovan take. They're a little more patient than Tommy Edman is, which will lead to higher on-base percentages and more walks. Why can't we have that at the top of the lineup? Why can't Tommy Edman bat second or even further down? Being a switch hitter, you can slide him in anywhere. Just something to think about. We'll see what they do. Juan Yepes, as people are saying now. I'm not sure which pronunciation we're supposed to go with because everybody seems to say it different these days. But he hasn't been spectacular this spring. But at the same time, he's driven in 10 RBIs and appears to be the preferred backup first baseman to Paul Goldschmidt this year. They've also been using Alec Burleson at first base some, which could give him an extra boost to make him a part of this team on opening day, just because he'll have the ability to play the outfield, which he does way better than Juan Yepes. He can play those corner outfield spots. Obviously some first base plus left-handed hitter off the bench, which is something you like to have. Speaking of the outfield, off the top of your head, who leads this team in RBIs this spring? Go. If you said Dylan Carlson, then you would be correct. Congratulations. The stronger, beefier DC has 12 RBIs now this spring in 13 games after going 2-for-4 in today's contest against Detroit, including hitting his third home run of the spring. Hit that one from the right-handed side. The other two have come from the left-handed side. He's got the average up to 263 after a dip below the Mendoza line there for a brief moment. He has dealt with some arm fatigue this spring, so hasn't played too much in the outfield, but we all know he's a very capable outfielder, can play all three spots if need be. The lone negative about Dylan Carlson's spring, at least in my eyes, is the strikeouts. He's had 13 of them, which is second on the team behind prospect Moises Gomez, who's no longer with the Major League Club. They've sent him down to the Memphis camp. So Carlson can just put the bat on the ball a little bit more. I wouldn't have anything negative to say about him at all this spring. I've liked what I've seen out of him. Prize free agent Wilson Contreras started off slowly, but now all of a sudden he's hitting 360 after a 2-for-3 day today. Andrew Kisner, 0-for-4 again, drops his average to 129 on the spring. Again, I still don't think he's in danger of losing the backup role. I think that they're comfortable with him there. The pitching staff likes him. The players like him. I don't see why you need to bring in somebody else to be the backup catcher. I think that's Kisner's job. Another guy who won't make the team but has been solid filling in for Goldie and Nolan at the corners has been Taylor Motter. Shout out to the long-haired Taylor Motter, who ripped two dingers today, has three now this spring, six RBIs. So got to give some love to the 33-year-old who's having a solid camp, and perhaps he can earn a spot on another major league roster after his showing this spring. Everybody's looking for depth. Cardinals got a lot of it, so I don't really see a spot for Taylor Motter on this particular team, but we wish him the best of luck if he was able to land a spot with another team somewhere. That would be great because he's certainly earned it. As a team, the Cardinals are hitting 269 this spring, which is 11th in Major League Baseball, and again, they're doing it without their big guys, Goldie, Arenado, Nootbaar, O'Neill, Edman. They've been without these guys for the majority of camp. Five of your everyday starters and arguably your top five hitters have been at the World Baseball Classic, but they're all starting to trickle back in. Edman got the start at shortstop today, his first start since returning from Team Korea. He went 1-for-3 at the plate, did have a throwing error, and also had a time violation while he was hitting, which is something they didn't have to worry about at the World Baseball Classic. So you wonder that when this is all said and done and these guys all come back, whether or not they're going to have to readjust to things, and it might be a little difficult early on for some of these hitters who have been at the WBC and haven't had to deal with the pitch clock stuff. So that'll be something to watch. At one point, you did have Tommy Edman and Mason Winn playing short and Winn over at second base. They turned a double play together today and looked pretty slick doing it. So that was kind of cool to see. We're going to wrap things up next with another World Baseball Classic update on Locked On Cardinals. The tournament is well underway. You've had some very exciting games thus far. You had a 16 seed winning on Friday night, knocking off Purdue. Fairleigh Dickinson, I mean, only the second time that's ever happened. That's crazy stuff. So it's a great time to be a basketball fan, which also makes it the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sports book, because new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's bonus bets back. If your first bet doesn't win, all you have to do, download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, secure, super easy to use. And then you can bet on everything, from the money line to point scores and three-pointers drained. They've got the player props where you can bet on player points, their rebounds, their assists. They even let you combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with the same game parlay, which is another fun way to keep the entire game interesting. You don't have to just worry about what's going to happen in the last, 40 seconds of one of these games. All kinds of things go on in between the first tip off and the final whistle. So just it's a way that I enjoy betting on games like the NBA and college basketball. It just makes them more fulfilling to me. Plus, FanDuel even lets you get that no sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets, which is something you just can't pass up. So when you go to FanDuel.com/lockedon, that's when you'll get that chance to do that. That's FanDuel.com/lockedon to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Team USA faces Venezuela tonight in Miami. It's going to be a 6 p.m. start, St. Louis time. And former Cardinals pitcher Lance Lynn will be getting the start tonight, and not current Cardinal pitcher Adam Wainwright, who reportedly was disappointed that he wasn't getting the ball tonight in this elimination game. That, according to USA manager and another former Cardinal, Mark DeRosa. So people forget Mark DeRosa was on this team for a little bit. That's when he hurt his wrist. Remember, he was having this great season with Cleveland. They trade for him. He comes over, is doing fine, and then he hurts his wrist, and he was done for the rest of the year. So trade didn't quite work out that well. But still, Mark DeRosa, former Cardinal. But back to Wainwright, you can't blame him for being disappointed, can you? I mean, Waino, the ultimate competitor. You've seen him pitch for almost two decades here in St. Louis. You know what he's like. He wants the ball in those tough situations. He always has. And he looked good in his first outing with Team USA. Gave up that leadoff home run. And after that, it was smooth sailing for Waino. Hopefully, Team USA will get the win tonight. Move on to the semifinals, where Wainwright will more than likely, I'm not saying it's 100% sure, but more than likely we'll get that start in their next game. So if they were to win tonight, they would move on to face Cuba in tomorrow night's game. Lars Nootbaar, Team Japan, will play on Monday night in Miami against Mexico, who have had a heck of a tournament. They've already beat Team USA. We saw that. They just knocked off Yadier Molina's Puerto Rico team. Former Cardinal Randy Arozarena leading the charge for Team Mexico. I know it still stings to watch Arozarena do all these special things that he's been doing, but can I put this out there for you real quick? Knowing that in return for Randy Arozarena, you got Matthew Liberatore, who is starting to look like the guy that could be one of your top five pitchers in the rotation at some point. And don't forget, you also got a conditional pick, which ended up being Tink Hentz. You got Tink Hentz as well. So you put them together for Randy Arozarena, and you see what the future might be for Hintz and Liberatore. Perhaps that will hopefully ease the pain a little bit as you see him destroy everybody in the World Baseball Classic. The guy just has the ability to rise to the occasion. You've seen him do it in the playoffs. Now you're seeing him do it at the WBC. He's a lot of fun to watch. And you know what I didn't realize is that he doesn't, at least in the interview that I saw, he doesn't speak English. I would have thought Randy Arozarena spoke English by now, but in the interview that he was doing on the field after their win against Puerto Rico, all Spanish. So I had no idea. I had no idea. It's not like I've seen a lot of Randy Arozarena interviews in my time, because he doesn't play for the Cardinals. All right. Thanks for making Locked On Cardinals your first listen. Now for your second listen, check out Locked On Fantasy Baseball. Win your league by listening to Matt and Dom every day as they bring you the best fantasy draft strategies on all the positions. Find Locked On Fantasy Baseball wherever you get your podcasts and on YouTube, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Cardinals back on the field tomorrow. They'll be facing the Mets tomorrow. Dakota Hudson is scheduled to get the start. If you haven't already, please give us a follow on Twitter at @LO_Cardinals and at JD Sports Radio. Like, subscribe on YouTube. Help us get that channel growing. We're still pushing towards 5,000 subscribers before opening day. We've only got a little under 2 weeks to go before that happens. So any help you can give us, we would appreciate it. You're the best fans in baseball for a reason, and I'll see you next time on Locked On Cardinals.